Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. From Samuel, chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord again called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." And from John's Gospel, chapter 20, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the story of life for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Beloved of God, would you join with me in prayer? Most holy and loving God, may all that I do and all that I say and my very presence here glorify you. May all that we reflect upon, may all that we feel in our hearts here, may our very presence here glorify you. Alleluia and amen. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I'm on an airplane on a flight to Nashville last week, and I'm at least half of this room's worst airplane nightmare. I'm feeling chatty. I love talking to strangers. I love traveling. I love airports. And yes, I am that terrible person who would love to spend the next 3 hours of turbulence and airplane pretzels chatting about everything under the sun and becoming dear friends with my seatmates. It's a secret joy of mine, talking to strangers. A secret joy, especially when I'm talking to them anonymously and they don't know that I'm a minister. When I tell strangers that I'm a minister, they almost always say, "Can you guess? You don't look like a minister." I don't know what a minister looks like. And then they tell me strange things. Suddenly, I'm hearing about how they hate church, or how Christians have gotten it wrong, from the Crusades to the tax exemption laws, or they ask complex questions about the Bible or theology or the history of hell, or they tell me complicated family stories about their weird Bible-thumping Aunt Myrna and want me somehow at 3,000 feet in the air to solve their family story. These are all actual things that have happened to me when I have told strangers that I'm a minister. So I confess before you and before God that I have sometimes told partial truths. I'm a teacher. I work at a nonprofit. I am a community organizer. All true. Perhaps not the whole truth. But definitely safer, definitely more likely to lead to continued chatting about books, movie, and the weather. So I'm in that airplane, in the middle seat, and when I sat down and said hello to the woman to my left, she frantically grabbed her headphones, opened her computer, opened up a PowerPoint presentation, the universal sign she is not feeling chatty. But the man to my right responded to my hello with his own hello, and we've been chatting ever since. Jan is an asset manager, a scuba diver, and a father of two from Denmark, the country, not our Denmark. And somehow, magically, I am sitting here setting a record for keeping the conversation away from what I do. It's been almost 25 minutes of blissful, anonymous, plain chatter when suddenly Jan pauses, I can see it coming, and he says, "So, what do you do?" And I ask God's forgiveness for telling a partial truth as I open my mouth to tell him I'm a teacher. Truly, I actually pray before I speak, saying, "God, I'm sorry. I'm on vacation and I'm tired and I just need a few minutes of chatting with this guy about scuba diving." And God plays a trick on me. I tried to say I'm a teacher. I opened my mouth and moved my tongue to say I'm a teacher, but what came out was, "I'm a minister." And Jan's face scrunched up, as people's faces always do, because apparently I'm not what you picture when you picture a minister. And when we get past the language barrier, and he found, yes, minister means what he thinks it means, pastor, preacher, priest, he gets quiet. And I confess I got sad. I'd been having so much fun. And then he changed in how he spoke to me. But for once, it didn't get weird. It got holy. He shared with me about his church in Denmark, his fears for his children, his work as an asset manager, and his struggle that his work to make always more money for people didn't always line up with his values. And we talked, suddenly, deeply, about religion and the world and what's important. And 30 minutes into this, the woman to my left took out her headphones. I don't think there was ever actually anything playing in her headphones. I think it was a sign to me. And she turned to me with tears in her eyes. And she joined the conversation, and she shared about her work as a diversity and inclusion specialist for a pharmaceutical company. And she talked about her Catholic upbringing, and she said there are tensions in those too. And by the time the flight was up, we'd all shed tears, and we all exchanged contact information and parted, and as we did, I swear to you, my ears tingled as I heard God laughing at me for having wanted a plane ride full of anonymity and scuba stories rather than the risky conversation and the vulnerability that came. What I got was riskier. There were 2 hours left in the flight when Jan asked me that question, and we could have spent 2 hours talking about all kinds of other things, It was riskier, but it was so much holier. When are you going to learn? I heard God asking as people pulled their bags out of the overhead compartments and we exited the airplane, when are you going to learn, Emily, that I have called you not to safety, but to holy risk and to holy vulnerability? And this is true. I can't think of a single passage in the Bible about being safe, but I can think of hundreds on risk, vulnerability, and being called to step out beyond our comfort zone. When are you going to learn, Emily, I heard God asking, that I have called you to be who you are, and I will use you every time you say yes for something holier and riskier than you could ever plan. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Samuel is also a young priest. He's grown up in the church after being dedicated as a young child to the temple. And now Samuel is a priest working for the Lord under Eli. And verse 7 notes that Samuel was working for the Lord, but he didn't yet know the Lord. Much is written in commentaries on this phrase, noting it's strange that Samuel would be working for the Lord without having yet met the Lord, but it makes sense to me. I've worked with people who have known the ritual and the dogma of a church, but have not yet felt that holy presence. Perhaps this was Samuel's story. Anyways, Samuel is working for God without really knowing God, and he's sleeping in the temple, in the sanctuary. And the story's kind of funny. When this man working for God, sleeping in the sanctuary, in holy space, on sacred ground, hears a voice in the night calling his name, he gets up and leaves the sanctuary to go to Eli, assuming, of course, it was him. Eli says no. Samuel goes back to the sanctuary, to holy ground, to bed. God does it again. Samuel goes again to Eli. This happens three times because hilariously, or graciously, to us pastors who sometimes don't get it too, these spiritual leaders who have answered God's call and dedicated their lives to God don't recognize God's voice when God speaks to them in the sanctuary of all places. Samuel was working for God, but he did not yet really know God. And when someone finally helped him to hear that it was God speaking to him, God shared news with Samuel that would make his ears tingle. How often does call happen to us like this? We think we know who we are, what we want, what we need, what's what. We even think we've responded to God's call. And then we think an airplane ride with chatter about scuba diving is worth a partial truth about who we are. We think a voice in the night is the man in the other room. We think safety is better than holy risk. We do not hear God, see God, feel God moving around among us because we are so caught up in ourselves and the people around us. And then our ears tingle. Somehow we get it right. We hear God. We know our call, know who we are, and it all opens up. Voices change. Possibilities open. We can see the sacred threads that connect us, can see how dearly we all need each other and belong to each other. Our ears open and suddenly we hear God's voice. Our life cracks open and suddenly we know what's important, what's sacred, what matters, and it's all riskier and holier than we could have imagined. Frederick Buechner wrote beautifully, quote, "The place God calls you to, is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Friends, I ask you, what is your calling? Where are you hearing God's voice, but not recognizing it as God's? Where are you settling for partial truths about who you are? Where are you saying, this is what I need or what I want? A plane ride of anonymous chatter for things to be as they are and report to Eli rather than the earth-shattering experience of knowing God yourself? Where are you missing an opportunity for God to use you for something more? And if this sounds like a small question today, when there are fires burning and your hearts are grieving loves you've lost and things that have gone wrong, if this seems like the wrong question when our world feels chaotic and scary and sad, let me suggest, because of these things, this question is even more important. How do we ever face in to all that needs to be done, to all the people we need to care for, to all the hurt of the world, to the challenge and chaos and noise out there? How do we know our role? How do we know what to do? How do we get out of bed in the morning? We do it by knowing what our call is. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. What is God calling you to? What is God calling us to? Who are we in God's eyes? We've talked, church, in recent weeks about our roots, our history, who we've been and where we've been as church. If you were here a month and a half ago, we wrote them on roots. They're downstairs on a mural. And we've talked about our dreams, who we believe or hope God is calling us to be in the months and years to come. And we wrote those on leaves. Those are downstairs on a mural. Check it out at fellowship time. I invite you now to ponder, who is it that God is inviting us to be now? What is our fullest, truest self, church? What is our mission, our purpose, our identity as a people today? As we honor our roots and as we live towards our dreams, who do we need to be now? When we open our mouth to say it to the stranger, what is the truest thing that could come out? When we hear God's voice in the night, what is it God is calling us to? What is at the core of who we are? What God has called us to be now? What is it that when we hear it will make our ears tingle? In a moment, Jeremy will play, and I invite you to reflect quietly and listen to God's voice. Beloved of God, if this is your 1,000th time here or your very first time here, open your ears and your hearts. God does not always use who we expect to speak to us and call to us. I invite you to reflect quietly and listen to God's voice as we honor our roots and live towards our dreams. What is at the core of who we are now as a church? When you hear that truest truth, that call in the night, I invite you to write it on your bark, and we'll pass this in to the offering plate. Who is God calling us to be?
Thank you.
Would you hold your roots in your hands and join me, your bark, excuse me, in your hands and join me in prayer? Holy and loving God, here we are. Send us. Help us to be the truest versions of ourselves. Help us to not tell partial truths about who we are, but to live our fullest truths. And bless our church, loving God, as we live into who you are calling us to be. Alleluia and amen.